Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Everybody, Rev here. Just a few things before we get into this week's episode. Gen Con ticket sales have been live for events about 30 minutes now, and we are already sold out. But do keep an eye on that as the week goes on, because I'm sure people will add and drop things. And then you can also always show up at the event. I can't think of a game that we've had where we didn't have at least two or three people not show up. So if you were trying to get into one of our games and you weren't able to, keep an eye out on the site and always feel free to stop by right before those events start. And then later this week, I believe we will have up the RSVP for the Crit Crew meetup, which will be at the IRT right across the street from where Gen Con is held. We'll have a little get together, have some drinks, and we'll perform the live show there. So if you were able to join us last year, we'd love to see you again. And if you're a new listener and you're headed to Gen Con, you're more than welcome as well. So we will send out that RSVP link to the mailing list. We'll also post it on social media, so keep an eye out for that. And with that, it's time to get into the episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another one-page RPG. This week, we have an offering from Jake. Jake, what are you going to be running for us?
This game isn't really run as much as it is guided. I'll be guiding us. So, hello, everybody. I will be guiding us through a game of Postcard from the Expedition, which is by Silverhoof Games. You can find it at silverhoofgames.com. But it is a very narrative-based, story-heavy. The only thing you do mechanically is flip a coin occasionally to determine an outcome. And we're just going to make up a nice little tale about intrigue or exploration, or I don't know yet. We'll figure that out as we start going through it. So hopefully everybody has read the rules and familiarized themselves with the tactics, yes?
No, you
explicitly told us not to read anything.
I did explicitly say that.
It was for this gotcha moment.
Yeah.
Just to make you guys look foolish.
Oh no.
And this isn't even gonna stay in the final cut. Like you're gonna cut this. We need to stop recording so you can read. No. So one of the nice things about this game is you don't need to know anything beforehand. We're literally just gonna read the questions and kind of go through. So I figure the easiest way to do this will be to basically just go in a circle around the table, question by question, because there are four roles to be filled. The first one is mandatory, so I think I, as the guide, will take that one, and then I'll just kind of ask the questions of us around in a circle, and we'll go and go and go.
Okay.
So, the first thing that we do is we choose a character, and we create our expedition. So, the first player is player A, the required character, an archaeologist, a professor, or a scientist. And my job is to answer, what are we exploring and where do we find it? So I think that we are exploring an expansive cave system that was recently kind of cracked open due to geological activity. And, you know, there are legends in the area of like an underground civilization or something, maybe used to exist and may somehow still exist in this area.
Ooh.
So I would pass it around to Tass to be character S, a student or an assistant. And your question is, what is the curse of this place?
Okay. A curse of this place. Yes, I know many
it's all,
curses.
It's don't worry, man. It's extremely vague still on purpose. You just say any dumb shit you want, and then it becomes true, and we all have to deal with it.
Okay, so the curse of this place is that it tends to sink deeper when it is discovered.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right, so the next character, character G, a guide or a local. So this will be Rev. Your question is, what legend do you know about this place?
I think the legend that I know about this place is that there is a very specific phase of the moon that brings it back up.
Okay. Do you know what phase?
Yeah, it's the waning moon.
It's not.
Is that a thing?
It's not a, that's not that's, a real. It's
that's
a real
half
one.
The month, I think.
That's,
oh,
that's
I
part
see,
of
I
it.
See.
Yeah, a waning crescent or
gibbon
or a waning gibbous gibbous
gibbous gibbon gibbon yeah gibbous
it's the gibbon moon.
It's the gibbon.
You know what? It's like harvest moon, like something that only happens once a year.
Ah, okay,
nice.
And then finally, character M, a mercenary, a soldier, or a guard. So this will be Kim. Your question is, why did you sneak in here secretly and in a small group? And I believe that is like a plural you. Like, why did we team sneak in here secretly?
As opposed to how did I secretly infiltrate this team of three people?
Yeah,
I see.
I think that the area that this cave system is in is guarded by like a gang of bandits and treasure hunters who are trying to find the same cave system. And so we're trying to sneak in secretly and in a small group because we don't want them to know that we're here and trying to find this discovery first.
Okay.
Nice.
So in the next round, we establish our short bios. So for me, my question is, what is your biggest discovery? Atlantis.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So this should be easy for you.
Yeah. No, but I think like the most compelling evidence that exists for the existence of Atlantis. Like, I think my biggest discovery was like a small, like a buried cache of artifacts on the sea floor around where Atlantis supposedly went down that everybody's like, well, what? Okay, well, what are these then if they're not Atlantis? And I'm just kind of like, checkmate atheists, but for Atlantis deniers instead. So, Tass, what did you sacrifice or give up to go on this expedition?
I think that I was on the verge of a job like teaching. I think that, you know, upon graduation, they had something lined up for me that was cushy and comfortable and not any fun at all. But I got the beat on this and thought, no, this is going to actually put my name on the map and will be a huge discovery. So I'm going to give up my chance to do this, knowing that if I leave it behind, it was going to get filled and I don't have that chance anymore.
Rev, mm-hmm. What are the people of this area afraid of?
So what people here are afraid of is the actual discovery happening and essentially what happens to like strip mining towns happening to them, like just a flood of people digging out the earth, finding these things and then kind of leaving this place hollow.
Okay. Kim, who and where did you fight?
So for the sake of this, Rev is the only local. All the rest of us are not from wherever we're currently exploring.
Yeah, presumably.
I think just honestly, a soldier for hire, and I would fight for whomever paid me the most and whatever I would do. And so my travels led me to this area, and that's how I met this team of researchers, is that they simply hired me in order to help lead them into this dangerous, possibly guarded area.
I like that this establishes that somehow we have a lot of money between us.
Yeah.
She's like, I work for whoever pays the most. So I found this team of random researchers and they paid me the most.
Not a lot, but still the most.
Still the most. I'm not in high demand.
No.
So now we move into our goals. So for me, what historic or scientific facts do you hope to prove to be wrong? I think I hope that there is a civilization still alive down here, and that it kind of rewrites how we think about like what humans need biologically to stay alive. Like that the human ability to like overcome like biological adversity is greater than we think it is. That you can live underground, isolated off of these things. We don't need sunlight, right? I can just stay inside forever in the darkness and that's okay. But yeah, that humans are able to overcome natural adversity more than we even think.
Nice.
Tass, what does await you when you return home?
So I made a bet with my rival, the like sort of the secondary person that they wanted to pick that I know is going to get this job now that I'm leaving it, and he's sort of lording that over me. But I made a bet with him. So if I find something definitive here and groundbreaking, I get his car. So that is potentially waiting for me when I get back. And it is fill in blank with super fancy $150,000 car that's beautiful.
Okay. What color is it?
It is purple.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Guy's got taste. Rev, why do you travel with strangers?
Because since I guide others through, like the locals, especially close to where the cave is believed to be, won't associate with me anymore.
And Kim, what values does this place hold?
Whatever civilization is here or rumored to be here was extremely devout and valued respecting religion and devotion to their gods.
Okay.
Tell us all about this pantheon.
I believe that's Reb's job as the local.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. All right. So we have sort of created the expedition. Now it is time for us to go on the expedition. So the game order from here on out will be we hit a location where we do some questions, and then we camp, and then we hit a location, and then we camp, and then we hit a location, and then we camp, and then we end it. We talk about the end of the game. So at this point, we don't have to necessarily stick to this rotation. Keep in mind who you are and what you've established so far, but I just get to ask these questions of whichever of you I want. And you'll kind of answer it. We'll flesh out the world. And then at the end of each round, there is a coin flip to kind of determine how it has manifested, what has resulted from this. So location one is at the entrance. So let's start with Rev. Where are we? What does the place look like? And what is unusual about it?
We are on a cliffside that used to look over a lagoon, but the lagoon is all dried out now, but you can still see signs of petrified kelp, just a lot of things that you would see in the water areas, but just all completely almost like a desert now. And the unusual thing about it is that standing in the entrance to this cave, you kind of have to like rappel down to it. You can still hear the ocean, even though you can't see water.
Oh, okay. And then the person who answers the question chooses who goes next.
Do I get to know the question first, or do I just pick the next person, or does it matter? Either way, Tass.
Okay. So Tass, who has created all this, or how was this place created?
So I think the legend about how it was created is that whatever started the curse of this place sinking, like whatever it was that started that, like whoever did some ritual or offended the gods or something, like something struck this lagoon and it went through the earth and it drained the water into caverns below. And some of the pieces of this civilization started to sink with it. So it left this as the only way to get down through to the bottom of wherever everything else sank. So in theory, this whole lagoon or a small sea essentially is now all underground. Okay, so what's the next question?
What is blocking the way further? What is dangerous or difficult about it?
Well, I think our merc needs to answer that.
I think what is blocking the way further is a right at the entrance of this cave, and we have to rappel down into it, is a small patrol of bandits. And what's dangerous or difficult is that we have to time our descent so that we can get past this patrol and get further into the caves.
Ooh.
Which leaves me with the final question. How can I help others to overcome the obstacle? I think it is us kind of sneaking down, not directly to the entrance, but like close, I'm imagining a fairly wide, like not just like a single person entrance here, like enough to like kind of set up a very small base camp in front of it, that we are able to kind of sneak down to an edge and place fakes in a convincing enough place that it will divert their attention. Like, they'll be focused on it away from the entrance proper because they think maybe they're starting to uncover shit all the way out here.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
And at this point, I flip a coin. And heads means success, and I explain the way I've done it. And tails means failure, and the rest of you describe how we get out of it, losing something important on the way. But that is heads.
Nice. So,
it was a success, so we all kind of collaboratively rappelled down. I think a lot of this probably came down to the Merc, physically speaking. Like, me and the student creating convincing replicas based on like what we've dealt with in academia and based on the input of our guide on like what this should look like or how it should be different, and then handing it off to the Merc to rappel down and place, and then all of us just kind of triggering their attention in that direction so we could sneak down the other way.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
And now we move to the next scene, which is camp. So in this phase, we just ask each other questions about our characters, past, future, relationships, expeditions, goals, whatever. So our camp story should reveal our characters, the world around them, and take the story to a deeper level. What parts of our story weren't covered? What do we want to know about this place and your companions, etc.? So I think we just each ask another player one question, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, one person could theoretically get all the questions if we all find them very interesting, but just pick a person and ask him a question about the character.
Jake, so after having like discovered Atlantis or proof of Atlantis, if there is a society down here, is there something more than just their existence you want to prove or like learn from them, or like what do you want from them?
I think that I am fascinated by all of these lost culture myths, like Atlantis or like Themyscira and shit, like just all of these like hidden cultures that have existed kind of outside of normal civilization and time, and the absolute unique perspective they could offer on the passage of time. Like, how have things been different? Because the rest of the world has, you know, interacted so much, being so isolated, like what would their recounting be like? How do they measure time? What kind of events, like, you know, what how do they measure their ages? And I think I'd be super curious about that for a place that is not just like separate and isolated, but like not even on the surface. Like, how have they tracked? I just want to know how they document, pretty much.
Tass, how long have you and Jake known each other? Were you his student?
Yeah, I think it's been a while. I think I started out as student and then it kind of morphed into assistant, like helping teach classes and helping with smaller excursions once it kind of morphed more into that. So I haven't really been on any of the big trips until now, but with anything else clerical, I was the dude.
So you missed out on the Atlantis trip?
I did, for sure. Kim, you're a mercenary. How many people have you killed?
Damn, dog.
Tash, you can't just sit around a campfire and ask someone how many people they've killed.
Or else the number's about to increase by one.
Tass, pick a number between like 45 and 98.
98.
Sure, we'll go with that many.
Okay.
So really, you kind of asked yourself a question.
Yep.
You played the Uno reverse card.
I'm pretty sure that was literally my answer. He asked me how many people I had killed, and I'm like, yeah, pick a number. And no matter what number he had said, I'd be like, yeah, it's that one.
That one. Nice. Okay. I like it.
Rev, what other expeditions have you guided in the past?
I haven't.
Oh, no.
I've only led people here, and it does not always end well for them. Here and back and here and back and here and back is all I've done.
Nice.
All right. So we move on to location two. This one isn't so clearly defined as like at the entrance. It is just the next part beyond the entrance, whatever it is. So I'll start with Kim on this one. Where are we? What does this place look like? And what is unusual here?
We're at this rock wall that almost looks kind of like Swiss cheese in regards to just a whole bunch of tunnels going every which way. And what's unusual here is that for whatever reason, every time we're sort of conferring and trying to track or trying to discuss which tunnel we think is the best route to take, the arrangement of the tunnels seems to shift every time we keep looking back at it.
God, okay. Oh, I hate that so much. So the next question is, how was or is this place used? Who do you want to answer it?
I think that's a good question for our archaeologist.
From what I can tell, looking through this place, all of these tunnels, and are they all like people size, like navigable tunnels?
I mean, some of them you'd have to really squeeze, but yeah, we could make it through.
I think that from what I can tell, by like the texture and the structure of the rock, that it seems like at one point these were smaller and were kind of used as like aquifers. Like this was maybe a water transit system that has either just been eroded or was purposely repurposed to instead be this kind of deliberately confusing, like, you know, it is now made not as a trap exactly, but to disorient, that, you know, as things kind of shift, or like maybe there's literally still water running through the walls that actually like triggers balance changes that change how these are oriented. It seems like this is now on purpose obfuscating where we're supposed to go. So the next question, what is blocking the way further? What is dangerous or difficult about it? I will go with Tass.
I think we discover why so few people, you know, get far down here, because we spend some time and, you know, watch these things shift. We go down a few tunnels a little ways and back, and we find what we think is probably the most correct tunnel. And the quote unquote block is that the correct tunnel, once you get through to it, is essentially a jump puzzle. Like, this is some platforming. So just like you said, we discover all of these ducts and things that fill with water and shift things. And to be able to get to the other side, we literally have to time it just right so that we're getting to one platform and then the next before it shifts and closes us off, or worse, harms us horrifically.
And that leaves the final question for Rev. How can I help others to overcome the obstacle?
So knowing that this is all connected to the moon, I think that I know that the reason this stuff shifts around is because of water underneath shifting and moving and pushing rock as the tide changes. Because the tricky thing about this is that because it is a shifting puzzle, the moon takes a long time to move. So it's never all going to be right at the same time unless you camp there for weeks. And I think the way that I can help people get through this is having brought along almost like a pump, like a hand pump that at the right time you can put down underneath a rock to get some of the water out of it to lower it if it seems like that's the way we have to go, but we have missed that window.
Okay. Flip a coin to determine success or failure.
Heads.
Okay. Nice.
So that is a success. Explain the way you've done it, I guess, in a little more detail.
Yeah. So there are a couple points where it seems like the direction we need to go that allows us to go deeper is blocked off by rocks that are not shifting the way the rest of the puzzle is. And so we get a tube down inside and start this hand pump and pump some of the water out to make spaces just big enough for us to crawl.
And with that, we move on to the next camp scene where we can just ask each other questions.
Rev, are we now the farthest that you've ever gone into this cave system?
It's tied. This is the furthest I have ever been. This is not the first time I've been this far.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the furthest I have been. Tass, we have found at some point traversing until we got to this camp, you found something that makes you think there is an active civilization down here. What was it?
I think what we found in all of the sort of shifting platforms was that some of the stone that shifts was very clearly newly like chiseled away. Like somebody came up here, up over whatever, for maintenance on this. So it's just an indicator that somebody is keeping this in good order and working order.
That's very wild. I like that idea that this like thousands of years old puzzle gets shaped and adjusted to make sure that it still works.
Jake, do you have any worry about me being here as an assistant and that potentially taking away some of the renown of this discovery?
No, renown is not really what I'm going for. If somebody else discovered it, I wouldn't be bothered as long as they did it properly. Like, I'm not concerned with my name being the thing associated with this. I am concerned with the knowledge existing and it being attained like responsibly and ethically. Like, if somebody started just dynamiting through this, I'd be mad, not just because they got to it before me, but because they were shitty about it. But you are an ethical archaeologist, and so I am not bothered at all. I am happy to have you along.
Okay.
Denny?
Denny again.
Denny, is that you?
It's Denny always.
I'm trying to be Indiana Jones, as always.
Kim, who matters to you?
My parents. Almost all of the money that I make, I send back to them. I love my family very much.
Oh, Merc with a heart of gold.
All right, that takes us to location three. So I'll go with Tass. Where are we? What does this place look like? And what is unusual here? And I'll tell you that there's another camp and then kind of the final like closeout. So however much you want to advance us through this expedition, you can.
I think we have a little bit more to traverse of these sort of shifting platforms, but it gets much easier as we go. And what we come out to after camping is a vast cavern overlooking a miniature sea. And there's a forest down here. And we can see the hints of creatures moving around in these bizarre trees that are growing up out of the rock, and there are lava flows that give off lots of light. So nothing civilization seeming at the moment, but this is vast and has potential for life.
We have found the Savage Lands.
Yeah.
I was going to say we found Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
Look, yeah.
All right. The next question is, how was this place abandoned or ruined? Who do you want to answer it?
Rev, tell us about that.
This place was abandoned because it has become essentially a wildlife preservation for all of these strange animals. That if there is a culture here, they are further in and they are letting the things that they need to survive, you know, animals they need to hunt or use or whatever, they're giving them a place to roam and just be, so they don't have everything in some kind of strange underground captivity.
Nice. Okay.
Next question is, what is blocking the way further? What is dangerous or difficult about it? Who do you want to answer?
Jake.
I think the wildlife, like just the nature, is what's blocking the way further. And partly because we don't know if it's going to threaten us, like if something's going to attack us or be dangerous, and partly because we don't want to ruin it. Like, we want to, if this place is a preserve, we want to preserve it. So we are trying to navigate like very carefully and also cautiously about what might come out of here for us. And the last question is, how can I help others to overcome the obstacle, Kim?
So I think what we're trying to do is kind of stick to the perimeters of this area because we don't want to disturb this nature preserve. And so it's really just us sneaking very carefully along the edges of this overgrowth, and I am keeping track and trying to just keep my eyes and ears open for any of these creatures. And I know that I'm under instructions to try not to harm these creatures if we can't, but I'm going to shoot one of these if we need to.
All right, so we flipped a coin. Heads means success. Tails means failure.
Heads.
Heads.
Right.
All right. So explain exactly how we do it.
Yeah, I think it's very tense. And this is almost, I think, like an hour or 2 hours of us very carefully and quietly sneaking through this area. But I think we make it through and we don't harm any of the creatures because we took very careful steps to be just super quiet. I'm a little sad because I kind of wanted to see what one of these creatures would do in a fight just out of pure curiosity.
Oh, everything here is biologically, they have adapted to hug.
To death. Okay, we move on to our next camp phase where we get to ask each other questions. I want to start with Tass, if this expedition bears fruit, how do you think it affects your future? And if it doesn't, where do you see yourself after this?
I think I am like low-key going for Indiana Jones status. Like the renown is a little bit of it for me, and I think that's just out of the stubbornness of having this rival back home. You know, I'm determined, though, to do it correctly, to do it the right way that protects everything, brings the information out, etc. And I'm hoping by that virtue to have justified leaving behind the quote-unquote safe, boring job. And if it doesn't pan out, I don't think there's a plan. I think what would actually happen is me trying to force it by going around to places and offering that, oh, I know this tip about this other place that I can explore, and most of it's going to just be bullshit places that have a little bit of a story, and me essentially just begging for the money to try to do anything, even if it doesn't have that hint of truth to it. Yeah, I think it would be kind of sad. Rev, clearly now we have made it. We have, you know, passed your record so far. Is this at this point just part of the job, or is there a level of excitement to this? And if so, what about getting this far changes you?
There is a very old family belief that they've never been able to prove, but they think that like my great grandfather is someone who left this place. And so if I could get there and find it, and if there are still people there, I might be able to like track our family history back further.
Nice.
Kim, having said that you send all of the money that you send back to your parents, how did you get into this? Like what got you into the merc for hire lifestyle?
You know, I think a little bit of it was in a weird way wanting to see the world, kind of. And I didn't have a lot of what I thought a lot of options in order to do that. And I was very good at fighting, and I fell into that line of work in order to kind of see what all was out there. I don't think my parents know exactly how I make the money that I make. Jake, when I took this job, not all of my fee was in actual money. What artifact did you give me, and why is it important?
Fuck, that's good. Because I think it would take a lot for me to just like pawn off an artifact.
Mm-hmm.
I think I gave you a bracelet.
Okay.
And like I tried to make clear like how valuable it was for its construction and for the age it was created in and for like who it belonged to and who it was passed on to, et cetera, et cetera. But also it's just got a big ruby in it. And I knew that even if you didn't care about any of the other shit, you'd take the ruby. So I was hedging my bets on this one. Like, please consider this valuable for the value I think it holds, but also it's got monetary value.
All right.
Follow-up question, Kim, are you wearing it?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Good answer.
All right. And now we move to the final scene. Can I take the first question on this one? Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Where are we? What does the place look like? What is unusual here? We are in what looks like a capital city. Like, we have moved into an unimaginably large chamber. Like, we can't see the sky still. We are below ground, but the structures here are extraordinary. You know, they're not like metallic, like it is a lot of stone, it is a lot of wood, but the construction is unbelievable, and it's empty. There's nobody here. There aren't bodies either. There aren't graves. It doesn't seem like anybody died here. They're just not here anymore. So the next question is, what is its secret? And I want to give that to Rev.
I think its secret, like the strange thing we discover when we are in this place, is that everything is made out of wood and stone, and you described everything as being big and grandiose, but it looks like a current metropolis. Like, it looks like skyscrapers, it looks like little corner stores. Like, it is uncomfortably matched to what you would see on a street corner in a large metropolitan city. And the thing that's the secret about that, that it's hidden, there is a large, almost like Central Park-esque area in the middle that has an enormous pond in it that has an impact, and the water seems to have been drained deeper.
Fuck. Okay. The next question is, what danger threatens everyone? Who do you want to answer it?
Kim.
I think that the curse that Tass mentioned happens to be true. Now that we have discovered this place, we're noticing that this entire city seems to be sinking into the earth.
And now we each flip a coin and answer this question one by one. Have you found what you were looking for? Heads is a success. Tails is a failure. So I will flip first.
Okay.
It is a success. I think that despite there being no people here, I find records of how they measured time and what the major events were, and nothing clear about why these records ended. Like, they just kind of seem to stop abruptly. But I get my answer.
Okay, here I go. That's Tails. I guess not. I think that what I was really going for was ultimate discovery, civilization, culture, etc., that we could actively speak to and, you know, learn from hands-on. And, like, that was going to be my claim. That was part of the bet that I made, that I could come back with that full force. And this is equivalent, in my opinion, of just some more information from a derelict old discovery.
Fail.
Oh.
While there are records, there is nothing like daguerreotypes or like nothing close to photo evidence that I could use to compare old images of family here. And so it's just kind of, well, I mean, maybe, but like the names don't matter because the name probably would not have been taken with them when they left.
That's a success for me.
Nice.
The reason why I went last is because the question of have you found what you were looking for didn't necessarily apply to me. But what I'm looking for is to get all of these people out safely. I think it's a lot of me watching and trying to hurry up the rest of this group so that you all can try to find what you're looking for and get out before this city and us sink away further into this cave system.
And then finally, all players share, how did the story of your character end?
I think I go back trying to show off some of this discovery, but, you know, all of what Jake has gotten from this is really what took the public view, and anything I had to offer was just secondary. So, you know, I've lost my bet. So I think I'm still making a living just going and investigating old ruins and things. But it's nowhere near what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I think I go back home just waiting for the next group that wants to see it now that I've been there. I don't imagine that more time down there is going to find me anything new. But the simple ability to be able to lead people all the way there now is valuable in and of itself.
I think we see a scene of my mom opening a package with no return address. And she opens it up and it's the ruby bracelet and it says, happy birthday. And that's it.
I think upon return to normal life, I am kind of met with like my choice of grants and shit. Like, I'm the guy who quote unquote proved Atlantis, and now I'm the guy who found this thing, and everybody's curious what the third time's going to be. And so I'm just like going for the most harebrained thing that I think might actually pay off at this point. So I think I'm probably planning a new expedition to like prove the existence of the Norse gods and calling up the team.
That's the end.
That is the end. That is the conclusion of our expedition.
I'm terrified that in my explanation of one of my last questions, I accidentally just created bedrock where the Flintstones live.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, never mind. New expedition to prove the Jetsons.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's our next. Our next one is a different way down to even where the water's leaking further. We'll do a new round.
Into the Jetsons world. Yep.
Somehow everything flips upside down and the sky's down there and it's Jetsons world.
Well, where can everyone find this game at again?
Silverhoofgames.com/postcard from the expedition, with little hyphens in between each of the words, postcard-from-the-expedition.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We will see you again next week for another one-page RPG.
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Please try to get some sleep tonight.
I've been trying to sleep all week. Nothing helps.
You could try a sleep sound.
No, thanks. You've had enough nightmares for the both of us.
Let me go! Come on. The medication has nothing to do with that. I haven't had a bad dream in ages.
Ever since your highly problematic affair in Idaho?
God, never stop. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
Well, you still haven't told me who you're bringing to graduation.
Oh. Your heart is racing.
How can you tell?
You're lying on top of me.
What if I don't want anyone else to know yet?
And it wasn't a bad dream?
I don't know.
Christopher, you know.
Can't you appreciate that I'm trying to help you here?
Thanks for the pills, Lils.
Dreamers, Season 2 by Broken Crown Productions. Tune in weekly wherever you listen to podcasts.